is the Wednesday edition. The Tausch Spring Sabbatical rolls on edition. The Jesse, thank you for your service. You have put together a remarkable rotation, like the Atlanta Braves in the 90s, of Cousin Subs of the Day edition. And the, what do I call him? Do I call him the professor? Do I call him 7'2½? Or do I call him one of the greatest SportsCenter anchors in ESPN history edition? Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, including to 10-day-old Up North Joe's little one, which was pretty cool to see. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from what I can only presume is his luxurious tenured professor's office, postponing his office hours for his young, eager, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed journalism students. He is... I still can't believe this guy works on our team. I just can't. The pride of Missouri.
Here we go.
It is our friend John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. John, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I'd be happy to be referred to as Steve Avery of the 90s Braves rotation. I take that slot in your group of guys. I feel like maybe I'm the sixth spot starter. We got caught. We just needed a guy who could give us a few innings. If he gets lit up, that's fine. We're not going to waste the bullpen. And so we may come out of here. I may throw 8 and give up 13 hits and 7 runs, but we'll see how it comes through.
Does that make me Bobby Cox?
Makes you Leo Mazzoni. You're just sitting there rocking in the studio.
There you go.
Perfect.
If you know anything about the Braves, that was an outstanding drop right there. If you know anything about the 1990s Braves, not only dropping the Steve Avery, not to be confused, by the way, with Stephen Avery, who obviously has a different level of renown in Wisconsin and not a good one. But the Leo Mazzoni reference is, that's why you're the best, the absolute best.
I watched a lot of baseball over the years.
Because I don't know how much crossover there is between Wilde and Tausch, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the Homer Hour, the shortest radio show on radio. But, like, I don't know how many folks that listen to our show and don't listen to more of our programming, which you should, by the way, it's great, realize how ridiculous it is that we have you on our team. I'm just being honest. With what you've done in your career, and I know you're very comfortable being told how great you are. I know it's one of your favorite things to deal with. But, like, there's a montage of different This Is SportsCenter commercials you're in that are outstanding. Yeah. Like, some of my all-time favorites. But explain to people how you have segued into your post-SportsCenter career and post-Wipeout career, which was so popular they've brought it back now. Which I think
they did.
Well, like, I talk to you all the time on Homer's show. I talk to you on Green Bay Game Day. I mean, I get to talk to you a lot. It's awesome. But I don't know if everybody gets to hear you all the time. So what exactly does your post-SportsCenter career look like?
Yeah, so I'm like the worst retiree ever. So that came out wrong. Like, he's retiring from sports, and I am, So I do that. By the way, I am not in my wonderful office. I have a great office, by the way. It's a remodeled building, but it's, so you walk by, it looks like this, one of these great old, it looks like an academic building, which is fantastic. It's big high, I got stuff in there. All my stuff that I had in my house that when we moved, I couldn't fit, a lot of it I put in the office. Now it looks like a stupid Hall of Fame instead of like an academic. People walk in and go, why is that guy's whole jersey and pants and everything framed and in your office? I'm like, I don't have time to tell you all that. So right now, I just want you to know, I'm on spring break too. But unlike Tausch, I'm here to work for you guys because I want to be a part of this. When they like, here it is, I'm like, okay, cancel the tea time. Let's play ball right here for 3 hours. So I'm just hanging out in South Carolina at the beach. But so I just – listen, when I left, I had no plans other than to work the 20 days on my ESPN contract, mm-hmm. which was just go do 8 track meets. Like, that would be awesome. And then sort of a happy confluence of events ended up taking me back to the University of Missouri. So now in addition to part-time at ESPN, I get to do full-time. Although the guys, I would think most of the other faculty would go, well, he says he's full-time. He's teaching one class right now. So they give you kind of a cushy berth. So literally, like, I have – if I was a student, I'm taking 3 hours, right? That's it. I have a class on Tuesday and Thursday mornings right now. But I do fill in the gaps with a lot of other stuff that I had no idea was involved. But I'm working on another class that will start getting taught this time next year. And then I've got a bunch of other freelance stuff that I end up doing, which is crazy, right? I get to poke around here with you guys every once in a while. I get to listen to Homer talk every Tuesday night for an hour, which is kind of enjoyable. We do a podcast. I do a podcast with a friend of mine, Trevor Thomas, that chats with, you know, just Wisconsin people. I think Mark Murphy is coming up next. I think we have Mark Murphy.
Well, I'm glad I was on before him.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls. No.
We get Mark. We had the guy that we've had the Lyndon Kugels on. We've had the guy from the Aaron Snowblower. By the way, you've never seen a look on a guy's face when you go, have you ever thought about putting warning stickers on that, you know, and maybe painting it a bright orange color so that people can't see it, so that not all executives get the joke. But, you know, we bounce around. So I have stuff to do all the time, and enough to irritate all the people in my life, meaning, like, why can't we go to dinner last night? Well, because I got to talk to Homer for an hour. And my wife correctly said, but what if you just every once in a while just – figured a way to tape your voice and interject about every 13 minutes, and people would think you were doing the show anyway.
That's
excellent. So I got a bunch of stuff, which is good. None of it, you know, and the best part of all of it, this is what it boils down to, Jason, is none of it happens at 2:30 in the morning. Right. None of it happens at 2 a.m. I am not waiting for the Seattle Mariners and Luis Soho to make the last out. I'm not waiting for Rob Nen to blow a save in San Francisco. I'm not waiting for Barry Bonds to hit home run number 753 and keeping me up all night. So that's the best part of it. Is like most everything I can do, I get to do in daylight hours, which is amazing.
In 11 big league seasons, 7 with the Atlanta Braves, 2 with the Boston Red Sox, 1 with the Cincinnati Reds, and 1 with the Detroit Tigers. Steve Avery was
Detroit Tiger.
Not 96 and 83. A 536 winning percentage, extrapolated for 162 games, 12-10 every year. That's what that comes out to about.
Well, look at him though. When he first came up with, because he was a Detroit kid or a Michigan kid. When he came up, they thought he was going to be the guy that would just, they were going to have, you know, 4 of them with Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox. Mm-hmm. And that guy came up, and he was like 18 or 19 or 20, I bet, if you look at his first year season. He was a young guy, and it just never quite stuck. His early years were great.
In his rookie year in 1990, he went 3-11, but in 1991, he was 18-8 with a 3.38 ERA, and he was pretty darn good in 92 as well. So, don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch. We're happy to have you. I am going to sprinkle in these questions throughout the course of the show, though, because and by the way, if you have not checked out Inside Wisconsin, they had an episode recently that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
No, it was not
one
mine.
One of the longer ones.
The one you were on.
One of the longer ones you do.
No, it was Mike Kelly, who you know I love. Oh. And he and I talked last week. I mean, we're going to start really working on, in earnest, getting Dick Bennett into the Basketball Hall of Fame. We think that that's a worthy endeavor. And you guys surprised him with Coach Bennett appearing on there. So I can't recommend enough. When you're not listening to our programming, check that podcast out. If you want to check out the one I'm on, I will say this. After Mike Kelly got done, Sydney and I were driving, and we were picking up Maddie, and then Maddie got in the car, and the next one that played automatically was mine. And the girls actually were interested. I don't think they finished it because it was so damn long, but they were at least interested in hearing me talk to you and Trevor about my career and everything else. So that is a fun thing that you guys do. I know we have some crossover partners that do that support our show and support yours, so it's pretty cool when I get a chance to be on there. All right, we've got John Anderson in and as our cousin sub of the day. Did you say you're technically on spring break, like is that your humble abode, or you're on like an actual vacation and you chose to be on with us?
I'm actually on vacation. I'm actually sitting. If I look out, here, I can see the beach and about it that I could. It, I don't know. It's a pitching wedge away. It's not even a pitching. It's a scalded pitching wedge away.
Jesse, did you know that John Anderson was going to be on vacation when you asked him to do this?
Spring break did come up when we exchanged notes back and forth last week. I guess I didn't really realize this was his week of spring break. So no, not entirely, but how thoughtful of him to still join us. That's very nice. Sorry.
So for those like retired Navy fellow who understands it, but also for those who don't, when we say on this show, thank you for your service, it is because we understand that those that protect our country and fight against threats, foreign and domestic, do the real thank you for your service deserving work. We usually use it sarcastically when Jesse actually gets all three of the questions for trivia right for our contestants. Now, in this instance, though, somewhere in between is thank you for your service, because I can't believe you're doing this show while you're on vacation. So we have John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. He will be here for three very long hours for him. What is your wife doing? Or is it just you and your wife that are on this trip? Did the kids come too? Like, what does your trip look like?
My daughter is down here because her spring break for college is the same time, and she just loves the bikes. Like, she comes down here and works all summer and has since she was like 15. Which I think is funny, because I feel like now my wife will come down and she will spend the summer here with her for the most part, and I think she probably needs more supervision at 21 than she did at 15. Requires more parental guidance when it comes to those things.
Very fair.
So any chance she gets, she's down here all the time. I just get to kind of drop in once in a while and pay the taxes and the dues. That's my job.
That's what
dads
do.
Make sure that bolts up the place, which is totally fine. And I'd like to make it seem like this is some big sacrifice, but literally, if not, I would be on the golf course this morning, and I was on the golf course Friday, Saturday afternoon, and the scalded wedge shot on 18 out of the bunker, and suddenly my sand wedge was in two parts instead of the one part like it was at the beginning of the swing. So the amount of self-loathing and frustration that you're saving me, this is great. In fact, I'm going to call probably next week or anytime I'm like here, like I think maybe I should make a tea time, and then I'm going to just make it so it dials Jesse or Karmazin or you, so that instead of going to a pro shop, it just comes to you guys, and you guys will be like my bat signal. And then I'm like, okay, I guess Anderson can come on for a couple hours if it means saving him going out to the golf course and shooting 78 or 88 and feeling terrible about himself.
Well, then, in that case, you're welcome for our service. And we're happy to have you.
You guys are this is cheaper than therapy.
And certainly cheaper than the new wedge you're going to have to buy eventually, so you can play again when you choose to do so. So John Anderson is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. We are going to talk state of the Packers. It seems like everyone is doing a state of the fill in the blank. I think I was on with Vinny and the boys this morning, or Vinny and Michelle, actually, this morning. She's filling in for Eric Bilstad. And they were talking about the county executive in Milwaukee has the state of the county. They just had the state of the city from Mayor Cavalier Johnson. We had state of the state from the governor, who's still ducking us for our big pickleball matchup. So we're going to do a little bit of the state of the Packers, which is generally a summer show that we do at Summerfest. But because John grew up here, loves the Packers, I'm curious, especially since he doesn't get to talk a whole lot when he's on with Homer, how he feels about where this team is at on March 26th. Doesn't mean that's going to be where they are on July 26th when they start training camp, or September 26th when they're getting ready to go to Dublin for their fourth game of the season. But I'm curious how he feels about where they're at now. We'll talk about that coming up after Tausch tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So stick around with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Well, we talk a lot about the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. But talking to the people who work there, you can tell how much they genuinely love what they do. Pella's team is with you from start to finish. They don't disappear after the sale. Right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends March 31st, 2025. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Of SportsCenter and Wipeout fame, and now a member of the esteemed faculty of the University of Missouri, where hopefully their most recent women's basketball coach has more success at Wisconsin than she had in recent years in Missouri. But we're lucky to have John Anderson, and hopefully the Badgers will feel the same way about Robin Pinchton?
Did
I get that right?
Yep.
We'll get the scouting report on her teams a little bit later from John. But let's do the scouting report on how you feel about the Packers right now. You and I get to talk every Tuesday on the Homer Hour when he's not winging his way to a destination with the Marquette Golden Eagles and you guys surreptitiously pre-tape without me. So I'm curious. You know, you look at this offseason. They've paid a guard and a nickel corner. I'm not sure how exciting that is for the fan base. How do you feel about where this team stands on March 26th, the year of our Lord 2025?
Well, it's funny when you said the state of the Packers, people do it, you know, you usually do it in the summer. And like, isn't state of the Packers an everyday thing? Like, I don't know that in other towns. And I've been in, you know, I was in Phoenix for sure. I know they didn't do it there. But even being close to the tri-state area, watching the Patriots, I don't know that the Giants, that they take the pulse of their team every single day like they do in Green Bay. You know, like at least tomorrow, once Russell Wilson is signed in New York, and that'll be great because the Yankees open Thursday and they won't think about Russell Wilson for a while. Whereas that would be everyday thing. So I think it's curious that the state of the Packers is just today. Like, to me, that has been every day, all the time. I can see my dad still watching the local news in the 70s, right? And it's June 3rd, and you're like, I didn't have any Packer news. What's the other guy got? He'd flip the channel. You know, you tell people that, and you're like, no, that's really not that far from the truth. So, But to the heart of your question, I don't feel any different about the Packers or where they are than they were on the afternoon of January 12th after losing to the Eagles, right? Like, they're the mm-hmm. same thing right now. You've asked what they put in those two little spots. Jair Alexander is still there. We're still wondering, okay, will Jordan Love make the leap this year that we thought he would make last year? The same weaknesses are the same weaknesses, right? Can they get an edge rusher enough? Because then we can help our corners. Are they going to identify a number one receiver and try to make somebody one by, you know, calling plays to in service to that? Or are they going to go find some? Like, I just think they haven't done anything, which is totally fine, because I think, unlike some of the Giants or some of the other places, which is one of the amazing things for the Packers since Ron Wolf showed up in those 30 plus years, is that they never start from ground zero. They're never below water. They're never at sea level. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had a couple years that weren't great, but you always had a quarterback, you know? And so I think that's amazing to see how many teams, like the Browns can't get to sea level. Like, how are you going to go beyond that? And the Packers every year get to start above water in good shape. So I am neither disappointed nor surprised nor anything about where they are. And we'll see what happens come draft day. But they're young people, and I think a young team, that they're going to give these guys one more year for sure before they decide that they need to maybe make any kind of major changes. And when all you do is tweaking, you're writing a lot about speculation and woulda, shoulda, couldas, and not much of that's actually happening.
So were you bothered at all by, say, the – And again, I always want to make sure that people understand my biases. That doesn't mean that I only wanted this to happen because he's one of my guys. But I just felt like the Davante Adams piece made so much sense. So much more sense than DK Metcalf, because it gave you a number one caliber wide receiver that could hold that place for a year or a year and a half, while the two guys that you most likely think are going to be capable of that, who are coming off of a combined 19 drops in Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks, can grow into that role the way Devontae did behind Jordy. And to learn that Brian Gutekunst never even placed a call to Devontae or to Frank Bauer, his agent, that surprised me. And maybe it shouldn't have. Is there any disappointment for you that that avenue wasn't at least explored, especially by a general manager who, upon getting the job, said, we want to be in every conversation, but wasn't in that one in any way?
I'm trying to think how often the placeholder idea has worked for people. Coming back is really tough, I think, for any guy, because all we're going to see is the 28-year-old All-Pro Davante Adams, who worked with Aaron Rodgers, right? You got to have both half of that. Is there any guarantee that he and Jordan Love have the same kind of chemistry and make the same number of plays and all those throws that we know Love, and that's our view of him and our mind's eye of what that is? I don't know how. I also think the other way is, how much did Davante Adams think of that if his agent didn't bother to make a call the other way? Phones, I've seen phones. I can call you and you can call me, you know? So
is that how those
case,
work?
Yeah.
Rodgers
prefers
FaceTime.
Right. But I do think that that's something too. I'm not saying, you know, there's a right or wrong in that, but if you have a strong interest in that, you know, and you love Green Bay and all these, and I'm not blaming him at all or what he want to do. But, I mean, if you want a job and you love the Packers, how much humility, how much do you have to swallow just to make a call and go, hey, my guy's interested. You got any thought? And if he says no, that's fine. But if I'm an agent doing my due diligence, I call the other way too. Devontae, mm-hmm. Green Bay makes sense. So I don't know that either side's more culpable than the other in that case. And he's just shown that's just not how he operates. It's just name somebody where he's done that, you know? And I do think you bring him back with all these expectations that, and he's by all accounts still really good player, right? I'm not trying to sell a diminished talent of him, but he is 2 years older than when he left, 3 years older than when he left. Mm-hmm. So I'm not mad that he wasn't in that conversation. I do think, I've never said this, I've never had a forum around Packers, Packer people, Packer audience to talk about this, even though it's 3 years down the line. I don't know that anybody ever handled an exit out of town classier than that guy. I mean, in the year, in his free agent year, nothing but staying focused on the team, never once ran down the team, never expressed disappointment. When he left, then he talked about it. Like, I just thought nobody ever handled a departure from town in that situations, which usually get ugly. I mean, he was just above board and as classy as you could be about when he was leaving and why he was leaving. And, you know, so hell, for that regard, I'll just take him back. I mean, I've had people in the organizations, you probably saw this, when Randall Cobb came back, and they were just, regardless of what his talent was, they were just happy to have Randall Cobb back in the building. Like, he was so well respected. And so I don't know that if Devontae holds kind of that same revered status. I think, like I said, I think he did. I think he, the way he left was really, you know, as good as it could be. But if you're just looking for more locker room guys, I guess it's okay. But no, I'm not offended that you went one way or another. That's just, I mean, the team is, that's just out of character for the team. That's who they are. And it seems to have worked, right up until you get an NFC championship game at home. And then decide on, you know, late in the game, you're going to let a guy run behind you and let Tom Brady throw a pass. But yeah, would I like to have him back? Sure. Do I think, you know, he can't wear 17. Andres Carlson has soiled the number. I don't know that, you know, you can do that.
I'm sure McManus would give it up.
It all sounds nice in the fairy tale world. I don't know that it works in the everyday world.
Well, to your point about how he left, I still would argue, how many players of his stature played out the final year of a contract instead of holding in, holding out, faking an injury, whatever it might have been? Not very many. And I would argue, and I have told him this, you were probably classy to a fault. You probably should have not done anything in 2021 until they addressed your contract. And that's just not how he is wired. Now, I do think that he maybe took a lesson from that to help himself engineer his way out of Las Vegas after the way that played out, because that did not play out the way he wanted it to, obviously, going there to play with his college QB and it not happening for longer than a year. But the bottom line is, and this is what I want to get to next, so then what confidence level do you have in this wide receiver group? Because if they end up running it back with the group they have, minus Christian Watson for at least the first half of the season, and with Mecole Hardman as the one addition, how do you view that group? We'll talk about that coming up, because, look, I'm going to write this for Channel3000.com today. Maybe this is finally the year. Maybe this is the year that they draft a wide receiver in the first round. Brian Gutekunst claims that is not a policy. It's just the way it worked out for the last 23 years. But we will get into that with John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. He is live from the beach, foolishly spending 3 hours with us, but it's keeping him off the golf course where he doesn't have a sand wedge.
Oh, no, I got another one.
Oh,
I got
extras. One already. Okay, good. Well,
this is not the first time that's happened, Doctor.
Always bring a spare just in case.
Indeed, Professor. Tausch is going to tell us about Coors Light. We'll have more with John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Well, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're on the Badgers.
It was successful, but also disappointing. That's just what this season was. I don't think any of us went into this season going, they're going to be a 3-seed. They're going to be really good this year. They're going to be competing for a Big Ten championship again.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand. It's a beautiful day.
Continuing with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. And there's no better view than what John Anderson has out of his window right now. I can see our ping pong table. We're redoing our basement for all the gaming area for the girls. John, what's your view, pardon the pun, of this wide receiver group now? Because Bulaga and I, who is also a key contributor to the Homer Hour every weekday, 5 to 6 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, we spent some time on that when he was cousin subbing as well. And look, I still believe in Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks. I don't know how good they're going to be, but Homer has a rule that you judge young players based on what they do when they play well, not what they do when they play poorly. We're kind of getting to the statute of limitations on that, though, two seasons in for those guys. So with no Watson for the first half of the season, with Mecole Hardman, the one addition to the group as of now, with the draft still coming in less than a month, how do you view where they're at wide receiver, and are you concerned?
So I don't think Hardman's anything, right? I said that to you the other day. I don't know that he makes the roster. I'm willing to go with your point that with Watson out, maybe he gets to hang around for a while. I just don't know. I was thinking in the break, forget Dante Adams. Why have they not brought back Jamon Moore? I feel like maybe that would really be the difference maker you're looking for. My former Tucker.
What?
Listen, he's a really good guy other than the part where he can't catch. I mean, other than that, he's fantastic. Big body, everything you'd like in a guy, just other than the part he can't catch. So I don't know that I'm exactly in line with Homer, but follow me here. So, you know, he always gives me the 7.5. And everybody talks about people in track and field. They talk about your PR. Right, mm-hmm. But that's your best day. What you really want to know is who is that guy in your everyday, right? So I jumped 7.5 one time, but most of the time I was a 6'10 guy, right? I'm not a 7-foot high jumper. I had my day. So who are you every day? And so I kind of that same thing. I don't know that I look at their peak because everybody can have that day. What are they every day? And I think when used properly, their every day is pretty good. I don't know that we have the number one receiver. I'd like to have one. And I think you either draft that guy or is there someone in there that you can make a conscious effort? We're going to pump the ball to that guy. And that's what I wonder. I think Jaden Reed could kind of be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Christian Watson should be that guy. Why they're not forcing it to him, I don't know if just the first drop in Minnesota has had such a chilling effect. But I would make that guy – I'd make that guy fearful to defenses, even if I have to force a few in there to let them know that every time he goes somewhere, you got to send a guy and maybe that safety over there with him all the time. But he's out. So I do think they're there. Like I said, this whole operation, I'm willing to live with one more year to see if they can be matured and can be experienced and seasoned. Mm-hmm. I always think of those two as different things, experience and seasoning. I remember good old Carl Sunby, our driver's ed instructor, and we passed driver's ed. He goes, good, you have a lesson. You have your license. In 10 years, you'll know how to drive. Because experience is just like I play. Seasoning is you got to see everything. You got to play once in the snow. You got to play against an all-pro as opposed to a guy who might be a fifth. Like seasoning takes longer than just running routes in practice or going after practice and having throwing camps and blah, blah, blah. So I'm willing to give them another season of seasoning and hope. And if not, then you're like, okay, we have a bunch of really good serviceable guys that can be 2 through 7 on the roster, 2 through 6. I don't care how many we're carrying, but I got to find an ace number one guy. And I think to his detriment, sometimes Jordan Love trying to spread it around, like go ahead, find a guy and throw it to him. And by the way, if that needs to be Tucker Crabb, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Find your guy. Find who is my guy that's going to make in when things go to hell, that's who I'm looking for and make people, you know, force defenses into knowing that who that person is and making decisions on that guy and then going around from and working off that. So I think more than anything, they need to identify somebody who in-house they think they can work with, because I don't know how many guys, there's a few, but I don't know where the Packers are drafting that you're going to find this guy that tilts the field immediately right off the bat. You said Davante Adams had to kind of grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
James Lofton was good year one, if you can remember back in the day. You know, some of these other guys, Chase's, Jefferson, those guys were good right off the bat. But I believe part of why the Packers, every time they say that, you know, they haven't drafted a guy this high, blah, 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 part of that's the quarterback's fault. Like, if you can be really good, then you make all those other guys better, and you don't have to spend that kind of draft capital. How often did the Bears go like, we just need more weapons for Jay Cutler? No, you just needed a better quarterback than Jay Cutler, right? I know his career got off track immediately with injuries, but they drafted the kid White out of West Virginia or whatever, and he was going to make them go. And all these times, we're going to draft this guy, and we're going to make – if I have a really good quarterback, then, no, I'm fine. I'm going to tell the guy, you're really good, and I'm relying on you to make everybody else around you better. I don't know that Puka Nacua is as good without Matthew Stafford around, right? I don't know that Bill Schrader signs with the Lions without Brett Favre. Like, that's what I want from my quarterback, is to make all those guys much better, and then I can go draft me one more offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And then he can keep you upright, and then you can go do your thing. So I think some point in the flow chart of importance, while it'd be great to have that guy, if my quarterback's really good, then I can get away with all those other people. So I think they're fine. I do wonder – Balaga tried to explain this to me, but, you know, he talks in that offensive line lingo, and I know you get that every day, so maybe you understand it way better. But we did seem to last year, now 2 years ago, have a lot of guys running free and open way more than we did last year. They seem to have a lot of guys at their elbow last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Balaga tried to explain to me the inside run game or whatever that Josh Jacobs did, that somehow the play action wasn't as effective and blah, 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 blah.
He's not wrong.
I just know there were not a lot of open windows that were gigantic that Love seemed to throw in his first year.
Well, and that's something that I asked LaFleur that flat out in the press conference the day after the loss in Philadelphia, and we spent a lot of time talking play action, and, you know, he got a little annoyed. Well, how do you guys define play action? Well, I define play action not as just a token, oh, I'm pretending to sort of hand the ball off with, like, my right offhand that the ball's not even in. I think it's, again, it's like, I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it, the old saying goes, right?
Sure.
And when the offensive linemen are not immediately dropping into their pass set, that helps me sell the fact that you're maybe running the football. So even though he got into the minutiae of it, ultimately the question was exactly what you just said, and it's what I asked him. Matt, I remember when you first got here, guys running around wide open all the time. Like, and frankly, it's because I covered the Mike McCarthy years where a lot mm-hmm. of times Aaron Rodgers was throwing balls very accurately into tight windows. And when Matt LaFleur used the phrase late last season that guys need to win their one-on-one matchups, I had flashbacks because that's what Mike McCarthy used to always say. The whole idea was, we got four wide receivers, you don't have four corners that can cover them, and my guy's going to find the one that's open and open enough for him to fit it in a window. But, I mean, I just, and I tell this story all the time, but I was in the wide receiver area of the locker room back when they were all grouped by position. It was 2018. The Packers had not yet fired McCarthy. It was early in the season, and the Vikings had played the Rams on Thursday Night Football. So we were in the locker room again on Friday. And it was a game in which Jared Goff and Sean McVay lit them up. I mean, it was one of those mm-hmm. games that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe what these guys are doing offensively. It was like basically the coming out party of this offense. And I was standing with Cobb, Davante Adams, and Rodgers, and we were all talking about that game. And they were just awestruck at how open the receivers were. And mm-hmm. I filed that away thinking, this is going to be the end of Mike McCarthy. They're going to hire a guy who runs this offense. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they did. And again, when he got here, 19, there were some, obviously there was a adjustment period, but 20 and 21, dudes were open all the time. There were instances where when you looked on TV and the ball was thrown, the only person in the frame was the Packers right. player catching it.
Yes.
And that was not the case last season. And so I'm curious how Matt LaFleur is spending his offseason. He's going to be at the NFL meetings this week. I know our buddy Rob Domofsky and Wes Hodkowitz are going to be down there. So I'm eager to hear what he has to say. They've cut the breakfasts from an hour to a half hour. Apparently the coaches didn't want to spend an entire hour with us the way they used to when I went would go. And Mike McCarthy would never get to eat. He would just have his coffee, and the rest of us would be chowing down on our free high-end hotel food, asking him questions, and egg falling out of our mouths.
Was that at the Biltmore in Phoenix? Is that where they used to go for that thing?
So they rotate it West Coast, East Coast every year. So this year, okay. I think it's in Palm Beach. But it's either I think they're at the Breakers, which I hated going to that. I loved it because Paul and the girls would go, and then they would go. It would be like a spring break vacation for them. But I hate those hoity-toity hotel places. Like, I feel like I don't like wealthy, snobby people. And it is, there's like the people that are not from the NFL that stay there are not necessarily my kind of folks. But what was weird was that it's this confluence of, you know, slobby beat writers like me, and then billionaire owners. I always love to tell the story about how Paula and Maddie came down. We decided to bring, Maddie was 9 weeks old. We went to the NFL meetings. The two of us are completely overwhelmed as parents. And there's this gathering that they do the first night there, and it's everyone that's there. It's the media, it's the coaches and GMs, and it's owners. And here Paula and I are trying to figure out how are we going to eat. And this lovely older woman says, I'll hold your baby so you guys can eat. And it was Virginia McCaskey. And she held Maddie, the daughter of George Papa Bear Hallis. Holding Maddie while we both ate so we could eat in peace for a little while with our 9-week-old baby. My point is that this is obviously another milepost in the offseason where the general manager talks, the team president talks, and the coach talks. And, you know, I'd like to get back to doing that someday, but I'm not going to be there this week. But that's one of the questions I have for Matt LaFleur. What have you done this offseason to get back to looking like, how do you meld everything that Josh Jacobs does well with the importance of your play action game? And can you do that with the scheme that Josh Jacobs runs best in? Or does Josh Jacobs have to run effectively in a different style of run scheme a little bit so you can be better in the play action game? And I'm
which
curious
of those is easier to change?
That's a question.
Which of those is easier to change?
Yeah, I would love to ask him that too, right? I mean, you know, you can get, again, bogged down with Bulaga with duo and outside and inside zone and all that stuff.
Yes.
And look, I said this on our last Green Bay game day pregame. But you and him were like our McKinney and Jacobs. Like, I cannot tell you how much I love having you guys as teammates. Bulaga knows so much football, and he does a pretty good job, all things considered, of dumbing it down for dimwits like us. But he know, like, the stuff he can and the knowledge he brings is ridiculous. But that's a great question, because they do clearly, even for someone like me who doesn't understand the game at his level, the run blocking scheme, you can see it's different than what it was with Aaron Jones because he's a different player. But the law of unintended consequences tells me that changing that was great for Josh Jacobs, not as great for creating open wide receivers. So I'm eager to see what Matt LaFleur has done with that and what he's going to do with that moving forward. But it is part of their offseason. And you did say something else that I want to get into just briefly coming up, and that is you mentioned Tucker Kraft. And for all the great things that we can say that these wide receivers are capable of. I'm team John Anderson on that. I think he is. If we're going to, and this is an unfair comp, but it is possible to be a great quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and have a revolving cast of wide receivers, but you've got Kelce. And I'm not saying that those two are anywhere near that level, but that is the blueprint that they could follow offensively. And then you get Luke Musgrave going, you get Chipotle Ben Sims going, and then you're really onto something. More with John Anderson coming up. Jesse, we're giving away more Thanalysis tickets?
You bet. Coming up Saturday night, Pottawatomie, place to be. We want people there. Yeah.
So again, it is Saturday night. I think I may have got my dates mixed up earlier in the week. It is Saturday night, and right now you can win tickets to Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live. It's back, and now is your chance to win a four-pack of tickets courtesy of McDonald's. Caller number 4. Right now to 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 4 wins 4 tickets to Thanalysis Live. That is Saturday night at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Join Thanalysis for a live show that's going to entertain fans like none other. Last year, obviously, his brother, I don't know if you've heard of him, Giannis, was there, and so was Stephen A. Smith of ESPN, so you never know what Thanalysis might bring in 2025. And if you don't win tickets now, you can still get your tickets to Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live by going to ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison social media channels to find out more about the event and to get tickets. Excitement and entertainment you can't get anywhere else. It's Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Carbliss, also supported by the Prisoner Wine Company and McDonald's. More with John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
The NFL Draft is now underway.
Live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Having worked with Homer every Tuesday on the Homer Hour, is familiar with bad clock management, so he's not fazed by the fact that it's already 10 o'clock. We haven't started the 10 o'clock hour yet. So I want to get into this, though, because I can see that this has lit a bit of a fire in the YouTube comments, where you can join the conversation if you subscribe. You can be part of the chat. Tausch claims he's subscribed. He's not. He can't be, because otherwise he'd have access to the chat. That's how that works. But I'm working on this story for Channel 3000 today, and it's basically about the idea that maybe the drought can be over and the removal of, while certainly not removed from the history of the team, he will no longer be the answer to a trivia question, and that is Javon Walker, who is the last first-round pick at wide receiver the Packers exercised in 2002 when Mike Sherman was the dual head coach and GM. He was a pretty darn good football player, and then he held out, and then he tore his ACL, and then he got traded to Denver. It did not end very well for him in Green Bay, but that was the last time the Packers picked a wide receiver in the first round. And I am very curious if that streak will end anytime soon and if that could be this year. And I'll tell you why I think there's a chance, but it may not be able to come to fruition because of where the Packers are picking. We'll get to that at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. John, this has been your best segment so far. I'm glad I gave you an opportunity to speak. I want to remind you, I tell you this all the time, I hope you never have to make the call. That means you've never been seriously injured in an accident, so you never need Gruber Law Offices. But if you do, there is only one call to make. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.